Welcome to the Lifehouse Church podcast. More information about Lifehouse and our senior pastors, Richard and Helen Kabakian, can be found at lifehouse.com.au. We hope you enjoy the following message.
Okay, I'm going to bring a word that, as I would always like to think, is raging in my heart. We don't have some sort of program at Lifehouse Church where we have to preach certain things. We can preach on whatever we want to as we feel led by the Holy Spirit. And I've got to be like red raw honest with you. This is raging in my heart because I think it's a message that speaks into the times in which we are living in. And the message I want to speak to you about today is called Uncomplicated Love. Uncomplicated love. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, I thank you for every person in this room. Lord, I know you've got something to say to us and to our friends and relatives and to those with which we work. And God, I know you want us to be a light in the darkness, salt, God, to this world. And so, Father God, I pray right now that you would transform us from the inside out in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 15 to 23. Here we go. We're going to read this. It'll be on the screen. And as we move along, I'm sure you'll be preaching your own message in your head as you think, I think he's going to talk about this, or I think he's going to talk about that. Well, let's see what we do talk about. When the servant of the man of God got up, he went out early the next morning, and it says, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. His response, oh no, my lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. This is the prophet Elisha, by the way. The prophet says, don't be afraid. The prophet answered, those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Oh yeah, oh man. I think we could preach right into that there. Yeah. And then Elisha prayed, open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the servant, and he looked and he saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. As the enemy came down toward him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, strike this army with blindness. So he, that is God, struck them with blindness as Elisha had asked. Elisha told them, this is not the road and this is not the city. Follow me and I will lead you to the man you are looking for. And he led them into Samaria. After they had entered the city, watch this. After he had led them into the city, Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of the men so they can see. And the Lord opened their eyes and they looked, and there they were inside the enemy city called Samaria. When the king of Israel saw them, he asked Elisha, shall I kill them? My father, shall I kill them? His response, do not kill them. He answered, would you kill those who you have captured with your own sword and bow? In other words, do you kill prisoners of war? Set food and water before them that they may eat and drink and go back to their master. Then he prepared a great feast for them, and after they had finished eating and drinking, he sent them away and they returned to their master. So the bands from Aram stopped raiding Israel's territory. We are living in days where people are behaving just like the servant of Elisha. Oh no! What shall we do? We are surrounded. Anyone feeling surrounded? You read the papers, I'm feeling surrounded. Anyone else feeling a little bit surrounded? We're surrounded by people's agendas. We're surrounded by people's ideals that are not my ideals. We are surrounded by people who want to inflict their ideals upon us. We feel like we are surrounded by an overwhelming opposition. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? You can't escape it. It looks like the enemy is ready to attack. Come on, some of us are feeling surrounded right now. Some of you are not looking forward to going back to work on Monday because you're being bullied and you're being surrounded and you're an adult. You're not a child anymore, but you're still feeling bullied by your manager, by your boss in some cases. In some cases, you're the boss and you're feeling bullied by your staff. We feel surrounded. Come on, anyone else feel surrounded sometimes? You feel surrounded. People who are discrediting your decisions. You used to be able to make some decisions. Oh, you can't do that anymore. And we feel surrounded. People don't want to submit to any form of leadership. Who are you to say that? Oh, I'm actually your boss. Who cares? We feel surrounded. It's like, how do you lead anymore? How do you... School teachers, come on, you talk to me all the time. You feel like you can't even teach anymore. Because you feel surrounded by parents. Don't you dare tell my child that they're not excellent. But they're not. Yeah, but still. How dare you give them a D? They didn't even do the exam. Still. Surrounded. Come on, anyone feel surrounded? People who are gossiping about you and they're trying to destroy your reputation. Come on, it's easy to feel surrounded. Surrounded by things that we just think, that's not the way I want to live. Why are you behaving like this? Or for some of us, you know what? You may be having your own enemies surround you. The enemy of anxiety. Some of you are feeling surrounded by him. Or addiction. These are all enemies that want to surround us. The enemy of debt. He's surrounding some people right now. Sickness. And all you want to see, come on, let's be honest, all you want to see is the enemy stop the attack. Well, come on, how many of you would just love to go, that thing that's surrounding, how good would it be to just, can you just stop and go away? Come on, how many of us would love to see it? No one? You're all happy with the surrounding. I want to see it stop and go away. I want to see it stop and go away. I do. I want to see it stop. I want to see marriages that feel surrounded by anger. Disrupting the peace of the home. It's got to stop. It's got to stop. How do we get this thing to stop? And here we see the servant is freaking out. Oh no, my Lord. He says to his prophet, oh no. And I just love Elisha's response. Here's the servant. You could just imagine he walks out early in the morning and he sees the steam coming out of the horse's nostrils. The enemy is surrounded. They're just all standing there outside his house with spears, swords, bows. And he's like, Elisha, come and have a look. Elisha opens up and he sees them all. Sees them all. And he says, don't be afraid. And he's like, okay, and why? Like, because there's more with us than there are with them. Now, it sounds really spiritual here. Put yourself in the servant's shoes. It's you and me and about 40,000 people. Elisha must have been doing too much shisha. I wish the Bible said that stuff sometimes because that's what the servant would have been thinking. The prophet has gone mad. He's lost the plot. Come on, let's be honest. There's more with us than there are with them. Where? Where? You can just imagine the servant. Where? Where? And you know, the Holy Spirit would say the same thing to us. Hey, listen, it's okay. But listen, Elisha had to pray a prayer first. And he said, Lord, open his eyes. And the minute God opened his eyes, he saw. We are surrounded by an army, but the enemy army is surrounded by God's army. And my prayer for you today is, yes, you may be surrounded. I'm not denying for one moment that you are surrounded right now. You are surrounded. That's the fact. But the better fact is that God has surrounded your army. You're not alone in all this. You're not surrounded by an enemy army and full stop. No, you're surrounded by an enemy army, but there is another army around them. And what they don't even know is that their eyes are closed to what God's doing behind the scene. You are not forgotten. God is up in your hills making a plan. You feel surrounded in your workplace. God is there right now. He is there right now. If you could just go into your workplace and see it. You've got the bully there who thinks that they've got you surrounded, but God's standing right behind them. Shoving his knee in the back of their chair. You don't know what God's up to. Come on, can we magnify him? We need to stop magnifying the bully when there is a God who is keeping the bully's heartbeat going. Do you think God can't get rid of the bully? Do you think he's that small that he... But when you think about that, it changes everything. If you think the enemy army is in control, you don't understand your God. The truth is, he's got them surrounded. How many of you would agree that we are all a bit nervous about where our nation's heading? We're all a bit nervous. We're all a bit nervous about what's being taught in schools. Anyone else getting a little bit nervous about that? We're all getting nervous about the things you can say and the things you can't say. There's a whole court case, for goodness sake, going on right now about the freedom of speech. Come on, we all know that our nation is going down a pretty crazy road, and we're all getting so nervous to the point where we're thinking, we're the only people. We're being surrounded by an enemy thinking. Come on, let's be honest. That's how we're feeling. We're feeling like we're getting pushed back. And just when we think it couldn't get any darker, our nation votes in a church going, Bible reading, tongue praying, Holy Spirit filled Prime Minister. That's what your nation voted in. Oh, it's so dark. God says, are you kidding me? I can change things in a heartbeat. Our Prime Minister loves God with all of his heart. Right now, he's probably worshiping Jesus. And we think it's so dark. And God says, really, do you think I'm that small? Do you think I can't change things in a heartbeat? Come on, 12 months ago, we would have gone, oh, it's so bleak. It's so dark. And God says, oh, man. You feel surrounded. I've got this thing. Listen, God's got it. Come on, high five someone and tell them, God's got it. East, God's got it. Oh, that was really poor. Come on, I want to hear some slapping going on. God's got this thing. Come on. Now listen, let me put pedal to the metal here, because I actually haven't got to what I'm talking about yet. No, but I had to say all that first. Because if you don't get that first part, I can't go on. So I just need a show of hands. Do you get the first part? Yeah? Oh, okay, great. You're good liars, but thank you. Do you know in the Bible, whenever you read in the Old Testament that Israel and another nation would come and fight together, Israel would sometimes lose because they were being disobedient or whatever, and often they would win. And they would win the battle by completely annihilating their enemies. Yeah. Did you know what would happen? There would always be a remnant of the enemy left over. And they would eventually grow up and they would multiply. And did you know they would continually come back and want to attack Israel over and over and over again? And guess what? It hasn't ceased to this day. Yeah. It's still going on. Did you know this is the only time in the Bible that we read that the enemy army of Aram said, you know what? We're going to leave you alone. It's the only time. Why? What was the difference in this case? What was so unique about this situation that the enemy army go, you know what? What was the difference? Now, come on, can you see what the difference was? I hope you can see it. When Elisha brings in the enemy army into the city where they were now surrounded by the army of Israel, the Israeli king says, Elisha, shall I kill them? And in most cases, whoever was leading would have said, yes, let's kill them. But Elisha says, no, come on, let's do things differently. Come on, let's put our weapons down for a minute. Let's put some bread in front of them. Yeah. Let's put some food. Actually, it almost comes across like it was bread and water, but then you read it carefully and it says he put a great feast in front of them. Like, there were falafel. There was, like, they imported souvlakis from Greece. I'm telling you now. I'm serious. Even though the Italians think that they still develop the souvlaki, I'm telling you, can we give something to the Greeks, the poor guys? We're taking everything off them, all right? Listen, the enemy army was served a feast. Feast, unheard of. You just don't do that. You destroy the enemy. But Elisha says, no, I'm going to do things differently. I'm going to love my enemy. And listen, because he loved the enemy, they went, you know what? Sorry about that. Yeah, we were trying to kill you. Sorry. Sorry about that. We were trying to chop your heads off. I'm going to admit it. No, we're serious. We had a plan. We're going to kill you all. But then your God acted and you know, you guys could have wiped us out, and really you should have wiped us out, but instead you gave us some food and water and a great feast. And you know what? It's touched our hearts. So we're just going to leave you guys alone now. Listen, I asked a question. Do you want the enemy to leave you alone? Listen, don't play his game. Why don't we start loving our enemies? Oh, hang on. In a minute, clap in a minute. That's what Jesus said we should do, is actually love our enemies. Let's love our enemies. Yeah, come on. Let's love our enemies. And I love this. I knew that when I would preach this message, like, here I am, I'm all excited about you, like, love my enemy. I came to church today to hear that. Great. I'm telling you, it's what's going to bring the peace you're looking for. Fighting battle after battle, friend, doesn't bring the peace that we're looking for. So can I teach you this morning how to love our enemy? How to love our enemy. Number one, we've already talked about it. You need to pray that God's got this. If you think the enemy's in control, how can you love them? You need to feel sorry for them, that they are being used by the devil. When you understand they're actually being used by an evil spirit, you actually feel sorry for them. They're just a puppet. The Bible says you don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers in high places. They're actually just being a puppet for the enemy. When you realize that, you actually go, oh, you poor puppet. Are you that controlled that you can't stop yourself from being mean? They're just a puppet used, being used by the devil. When you can see that, you actually go, oh, haram. In Lebanese, we go, haram. It means, oh, you poor thing. Can I teach you a good word today? It's called haram. Haram. Oh, you poor thing. But when you think they're in control and they're ruining your life, of course you're going to get stressed. How do you love someone like that? But when you go, oh, you don't have enough strength to keep your mouth shut. Oh, you can't stop your gossiping, you poor baby. Come on, come here. But I'm gossiping about you. Oh, you sweet little thing. Now, you don't say it like that. That's not loving your enemy. Some of you are going to do that. Don't do that. My point is that how you see it? Is that how you see it? Do you actually think they're in control of your life? Listen, I've tried to teach you over and over and over and over again, trying to constantly remind myself, if you're ever in a prison of any kind, it's because God's okay for you to be there. Because how many people did he get out of prison over and over and over again? When the Apostle Paul was in prison, you know, he made the statement, I, Paul, a prisoner of the Lord. He never said a prisoner of the Romans. Why? Because he saw with his own eyes people being released from prison all the time by God. So if he's in prison, he's thinking, God's okay for me to be here. And if something is going on in your world right now, you are not a victim of anything. God's allowing it just to bring a little bit of goodness out of you, a bit of strength out of you, a little bit of seeing what's in you. Number one, pray that God opens your eyes. God, show me that you're in control. Let me see the mountains full of chariots of fire. What do you see? Do you just see the first layer of enemy? No, you need to look above them and go, hey, how you doing, boys? Because they're on your side. That's how we need to see the first aspect. Is that okay? The second one is this. He says, don't fear. Everyone say, don't fear. Don't fear. The prophet says, don't fear. Why? Because you can't love what you fear. You can't, listen, God's people, those of you, maybe you're new here today, I'm just going to lump you all in together. Hey, people of God, don't fear evil. Don't fear the agenda. Don't fear people's lifestyles. Don't fear, we've got nothing to fear. We've got nothing to fear because if you fear it, you can't love it. Don't fear. I often teach in relationships, and it's a whole chapter in my book, very short chapters, but it basically says this, love and fear can't live in the same room. Do you know, if in your marriage there is fear, you are somehow destroying your love for one another. You can't have fear and love in the same room. It's either going to be fear or it's going to be love. If we're going to bring love into the room, you can't fear people. You can't fear their agenda. You can't fear what you think they may be able to do for you. But they're gonna say something and I'm going to lose my job. Oh, so your job is in people's hands. I thought it was in God's hands. I thought your promotion was in God. I thought God's in charge of your life. How many times do we need to read the story of Joseph to realize just when everyone thought they were dictating Joseph's life, God says, no, I needed you to get into the palace so that you can then rule Egypt, so that you can then feed the people. You are not a victim of anyone's bullying. You're not a victim of anyone's plan or agenda. God has got you. Come on, say it with me. God has got me. God has got me. He's got me. He's got you. Don't fear the enemy. It's all under God's control. And here it is. Here's these powerful words of Jesus. Number three, love your enemies. And this is Jesus speaking. He says, but to you who are listening, I say. Is anyone listening? Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, kick them in the head, is what we wish it said. Because they took it too far, didn't they? Okay, the other stuff we get, but now they're physically hurting me? Yeah. Turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. How do we see this played out in Jesus' life? Well, John 13, we already heard about it a little today. John 13, verses 2 to 5, watch this. The evening meal was in progress. This is the Last Supper. Watch this. The devil. Most of us are not being attacked by the devil. You may be being attacked by some demons, but not the devil, right? Not Satan himself. His workers usually. This is the devil. The devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Did you hear that? Okay. Jesus, watch this, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power. What's that telling you? Jesus could see the mountaintops full of power. Are you ready? He could see the mountaintops. And that he had come from God and that he was returning to God. What's that telling you? Jesus knew who he was. See, that's half the problem. You know why we can't love our enemies sometimes? We don't even know who we are. But Jesus is like, God's given me all power. I know who I am. I know where I've come from and I know where I'm going. I know where I'm going. Now, because he had all that, watch what comes next. So he got up from the meal. See, you can only do that part once you've done the first part. He got up from the meal and he took off his outer clothing and he wrapped a towel around his waist. And watch this. After that, he poured water into a basin and he began to wash his disciples' feet. Now, we love that because it's so romantic. Jesus, we've seen pictures of the Louvre. We've seen artwork of Jesus. It's so romantic. Wait for it. One of the people that Jesus was washing, one of the pairs of feet, was Judas Iscariot, filled with Satan. And Jesus still washed his feet. Yeah. Come on, bro. Come on. Yeah. Amen. Amen. And some of us are like, wow. Now, I've gone straight for the top. But you know, he also washed Peter's feet, who he knew was going to deny him in a few hours. Yeah. Do you know, he also washed Thomas's feet, who a few moments ago, or in a few more moments, is going to be denying that he even rose again. Yeah. What I'm saying to you is, that's our Savior, friend. And for some of us, it's like we just love the people who love us, but that's not the Savior we serve. We serve a Savior that says, you know what? I'm going to love my enemies. And that's the call to every believer. And listen, imagine someone, I want world peace, Mrs. Universe. I want world peace. Easy, sweetheart. Go washing all the other girls' feet. Oh, I don't want world peace that much. Could you imagine if every human being decided, I'm going to love my enemy? I want your land. Take it, bro. What? Well, I have to kill you first. No, come on, just come. But then what if the other guy says, nah, I was only joking. I don't really want your land. I'm going to love you too. Imagine if everyone just actually respected, loved, and honoured one another. There it is. That's called the kingdom of heaven. But while we've got one person who won't love their enemy, it disrupts the flow. My question to you is, are you someone who disrupts the flow? Or are you someone who goes with the flow of, I'm going to love my enemies. I'm going to love the surrounding army that looks like is there to destroy me. I am going to love these people. Now, some of you are like, what does this mean? Do we just let everything just go? No. Elisha did pray that they would be blinded. Elisha did pray that they would be blinded to disrupt what they were trying to do. And there's nothing wrong with us praying, God, I don't want that legislation applied to our country. There's nothing wrong with us praying that. There's nothing wrong with us being in politics and fighting the way our government has said we can fight. To have our ways, the stuff that is important to us. There's nothing wrong with that, church. Are you hearing me? Nothing wrong with that. We can fight, but let's fight clean. Let's fight fair, and let's fight from heaven's point of view, always knowing that God is always in control. Yes, we can absolutely pray for blindness, but we're going to pray that we do it that way. Now, listen, with a few minutes that I've got left, I just want to nail this down because this is now a culture message. And if Lifehouse is your home, I am praying that you will take on the words that you're about to hear and make them your words. Friends, this is what Jesus said to us. He says, do not judge. This is Luke chapter 6, verse 37. Can you read it out with me? Can you, 1, 2, 3, go. Do not judge. Okay, is he being serious or not? Absolutely he is. He says, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Oh, but you know, I mean, really? Is Jesus serious about that? Well, in John chapter 8, verse 15, and I can see some of you taking down notes. You ought to take down notes for this. Watch this. Jesus said, you guys judge according to the flesh. And then what does he say next? I judge no one. Hey, listen, Christians, there's a lot of judging going on at the moment. And I'm going to be blunt with you. You've never been called to judge. Your Savior didn't come to judge. What makes us think we've got the right to judge? Now, I'm going to go a little bit deeper, but I'm telling you now, and I don't mind if we go dead silent right now because this is a culture of Lifehouse. I can't stand when I hear people judging. It doesn't bring the peace or the love or the hope that God is planning to bring into our world. It doesn't bring anything. Do you know what we're doing when we do that? We're killing the army. And then we're wondering why we're in this constant battle. No, we're supposed to be people who aren't judging. We are supposed to be very busy loving. Amen. And I'm going to go a little bit deeper with that because some of us still don't get this. John chapter 12, verse 47, here's Jesus. He says, if anyone hears my words and does not believe, he says, I don't judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. Listen to what he's saying. Wait for it. The reason why Jesus didn't come into the world to judge the world, because it was already judged. Listen, we don't need your judgment. It's already been judged. It's evil. Why do you need to declare it? It's already been judged by God. So then why did Jesus come? To love it. So you've got to make up your mind. Are you on the judgment side? Or are you on the, I'm going to be on Jesus' side. I'm going to love this world. I'm going to love my friends. I'm going to love my relatives. I'm going to love my work colleagues. I'm going to love people. I'm going to love them because they're already judged. You saying that, you judging them doesn't make them judged now. They are already judged. We have to love. And it's a culture of Lifehouse that we love people. And we've got frequently asked questions coming up tonight. It's going to be awesome, but you're going to hear that over and over again. Our call and our mandate is to love. We've got to love. And for some of us, it's like, well, that's not fun. I love judging people. And I get that, but this is what you find yourself in danger of if you do that. Romans chapter 2, verse 1. Is this enough scripture for you, by the way? I hope so. Yeah. It says, therefore, you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge, for in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself, for you who judge practice the same things. Oh, that's not true. What I'm judging, I don't do. No, your sin's just different to what they're doing. Come on. I know you're judging that person's sin and you don't do that. Maybe you don't, but you do something else. And God says, it's the same to me. It's the same. Listen, the Bible is saying, don't judge, because every word that comes out of your mouth will in eternity be flipped back and your words will judge you. Every comment you've ever made about someone else's life, God says, great. Awesome, well done. And then God just puts the tape recorder on and that's what judges you in eternity. Now, that's good news because if you're the sort of person that says, I just want to love these people. I just want to forgive them. I just want to help them to grow. I just want to see them move forward. That's what gets played back to you. Make up your mind. I know which way I'm going. I'm going to love people. Now, this is going to mess some people up. Actually, no. This is going to really set some people free. I've got some great news for you today. Are you ready? Some of you don't realize this. Did you know that you are not compromising on your faith? You're not compromising. If you don't judge and just love someone, you are not compromising because you are not accountable for their life. God is never going to hold you or me accountable for someone else's sin. Are you hearing me? I'm not going to get to heaven and God says, Rich, come here. Half your street were watching stuff they shouldn't have been watching. It's your fault. God's never going to say that. I tell you what he will say to me. I set you up on your street so that you could love your neighbor. That's why you were there. You were supposed to be loving people, not supposed to be judging them. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? Listen, stop judging. What are you judging anyway? Who made me or you judge of the whole earth? Until we are God, then judge then. But until you're God, I wouldn't judge if I was you. I would just say, thank you, God, for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your peace. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you that... Now listen, this is really, really messy. Let me tell you where this came from, this message. I was in a church in Poland. And the pastors set me aside and I said, Pastor Rich, we've got a doozy for you. Okay, what is it? We've got a girl in our church who honestly feels like she's a male. She feels like she's a man. Okay, and well, now she's begun to take the medication and the hormones to transform her into a male. Okay, and have you tried to talk to her, him? Yes, we've tried and all that, but at the end of the day, that's what she wants to do, he wants to do. And I said, are they coming to church? Absolutely, don't miss a service. Serving, loving people, but slowly, slowly becoming a man. I said, oh, okay, I sort of get it. And then she's going to become a man and then eventually she'll find a girl and it'll be a man. No. She actually, when she does become a man, she actually wants to still date and marry a man. Okay, so she's a man eventually who wants to be with a man. And he goes, yeah. And I said, well, if that's the case, she actually really is a girl. So is there anything wrong with that? Because she's actually a girl who wants to be with a man. Yeah, but she wants to be a girl who becomes a man who then loves the man. Yeah, good luck working that one out. Show me the chapter and verse for that. I will. Are you ready? For God so loved the world. Is that girl someone in this world? Well, then God loves him, her, whatever you want to call it. I told this pastor, listen, if you try and work that one out, God bless you. I tell you what you should be doing, though, is loving her, him, loving. Listen, church, you are not, I am not the behavior police. God didn't set us up. Oh, you're doing some things wrong over there. I'm the behavior police. No. The Holy Spirit is so powerful. He can tell people what to do. He can tell people how to live. And until he changes them at the right time, I'm going to keep loving them. Now, okay, bit of balance. Can I give you some balance? If someone's going through major stuff, are they probably going to be up here preaching at you? No, probably not. No, if they've got some major stuff going on, I think people who are up here should be some sort of example for us all. Amen? So don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that people have got a messed up life and they're up here worship leading. And No. There is a standard. That's leadership. That's not heaven. That's not being a part of this church. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You can be in this church and be totally messed up for the rest of your life and we're still going to love you. We're going to love you and we're going to love you. Because if we start going, well, you know, no, we're going to set a line. Well, where's the line? Because I would set it at being late for church. Yeah, I'd set it about there, that's just not good enough. Well, oh, Pastor Richard, that's a bit rough. Well, I don't know. Where do we want to set this line of where we don't love people? This is a great message, isn't it? You came to church for this today. Let me tell you why you came. Stop feeling so messed up with what's going on in the world. It's really simple. Go to work and love people. It's really simple. When you're driving your car, stop feeling like the world is caving in around you. Just love people. And why don't we let God, who's got the armies up in the hills, do all the battle. Why don't we let him just fight whatever battle he wants to fight? But what we're going to fight is the fight for love. We're going to keep loving people. We're going to keep saying to them, God's got a plan for your life. We're going to keep telling them that heaven is waiting for you. The last thing I want is a judgmental church. Because Jesus could have condemned the woman who was caught in the act of adultery. And he said, woman, woman, I don't condemn you. That's my Saviour. And I hear those words from Jesus all the time for my own life. Do you hear them for your life too? Yeah. Why don't we just give those words to the rest of our world? Yeah. Amen. Do you know the world doesn't have a problem with God? They've got a problem with Christians who judge. Yeah. Come on, somebody. That's the truth. Let's go on and love some people. Why is this message called Uncomplicated Love? Stop trying to work it out. Just love people. Just love people. Spoiler alert. Does everyone love a spoiler alert for a good movie? No one likes it, but I'm going to give you one right now. Spoiler alert for how this whole thing wraps up. God wins. God wins. Righteous people who love Jesus go to heaven. Evil people go to a very, very dark place away from God called hell. That's how it works out. Until then, we're supposed to be loving people, trying to populate heaven, trying to get people in, telling them there's a God who loves them, telling them there's a God that actually wants them to move forward. That's how it ends. We're not supposed to be judging now. God will judge at the end of time. He'll judge. No one's going to get away with anything. Our job is to continually love people. And when you do that, it keeps you sane. You don't feel like the enemy's closing in. Amen. Listen, people still have a chance, as I speak, to change their ways, to change what they believe. And until they take their final breath, there is hope for every soul. Man, woman, child, your parents, while they've still got breath in their body, you may think they're an enemy of God. But everybody would have thought that about the Apostle Paul too. But God changed him from the inside out. What am I saying here today? Come on, I think it's very obvious. Can we just have really uncomplicated love? Can we just love people? And if we get to heaven and God says, you guys, you were just way too loving. Do you reckon God will say that? You guys, man, you guys just loved everybody. I was with the church that was hating everyone. Do you reckon God's going to say that? I was with the church that had such high standards, there was about six people in the room and even they didn't want to be there. No, if I'm going to get to heaven and I've done something wrong, it's going to be, God, I just tried to do what Jesus said and not judge. I just tried to keep loving people. And I think he'll say, you know what, come on in. You did exactly what I want you to do. Are you with me? Can we have that attitude? Come on, let's be a church. Come on, our vision statement says that we are a church full of grace and truth. We get to the truth part way too quick. Way too quick. No, there is truth. There is power in the blood. People can live for Jesus. People can overcome sin. I believe it with all my heart. I've experienced it. But there's always grace, friends. And that grace never goes away. Amen. So come on, maybe there's some people in this room right now and you're feeling like, man, this is so good because I need God's grace. You've come into the right place today.
Hi, I'm Richard Kabakian, pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message and I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which can begin by praying a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and if you'd like to begin that relationship, you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I choose you as my only hope of being forgiven. Please come into my life and let me begin a relationship with you that will last for all eternity. If you've prayed that prayer, we would love to know about it and celebrate your fantastic decision. You can do that by sending an email to mydecision@lifehouse.com.au. We look forward to hearing from you.